Well, most of us spend far more time at work than at home. And most students spend far more time at school than at home, which is kind of your equivalent of work. It makes sense then that God would give us clear instructions for work. This is part two of the message, Instructions for the Workplace. Let's quickly review what we learned in part one last week. There are three pairs of groups who are called to submit to one another. First, husbands and wives. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, in turn, are to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The second pair is parents and children. Kids are to obey and honor your father and mother. And parents, in turn, do not provoke your children to anger. This brings us then to a third exhortation for submission, employers and employees. Employees must obey employers, who in turn must be kind to their employees. Everyone here either is or has been an employer or an employee, or someday you will be, so this is for you. From Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, here are five reminders of instructions for the workplace. Again, this is from last week. First, submit to authority. Any group, nation, family, church, sports team, etc., must be built on the two pillars of authority and submission. Submission never implies inferiority. No one is superior or inferior to anyone else. Everyone has equal dignity, worth, and privilege before God and before one another. Next, obey your boss. The call of Scripture is not just to obey when we want to or when we have bosses we like. Peter commanded us to submit not only to masters who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Christian workers are to obey in all things except when told to disobey God. Next, respect your boss. As a Christian, you are called to respect your superiors in such a way as to be anxious to please them. If a believer is not anxious to please his boss for his boss's sake, he should still be anxious to please his boss for the Lord's sake. What else? Work with a sincere heart. We can only do our best at work when our heart is sincerely committed. What we do at work, we must do with sincerity. We must not be two-faced or hypocritical. And finally, from part one, work as you would for Christ. God sees your job performance. He is your inspector. Christians know that every single piece of work that we produce must be good enough to show God. No one who is mindful of the presence of God is okay with shoddy work. Now let's continue with part two. Our focus last week was Ephesians 6:5. Let's keep verse 5 for context, but our focus today is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. So here are more instructions for the workplace. Number one, don't just obey with eye service. As far as we know, the term eye service was used by no one else prior to here, to this. Evidently, Paul coined this phrase. This phrase mostly explains its own meaning. Eye service is done to please the eye. It's service that's only done while someone is watching. Workers who are guilty of eye service only work hard in the boss's presence. Have you ever known someone like this? Or still, have you ever been this person? These people work hard while the boss is watching. But the moment they leave, the charade is over. Christian employees and Christian students should never need to be checked up on. Their work should be exemplary whether anyone is watching or not. A good example of someone in the Bible who did it right was Joseph. Potiphar, his master, left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. That's how every one of us should be as a follower of Christ while we do our work. To labor with eye service, to do well only when being watched, is a very immature way to work. Such oversight should only be necessary for immature little children. You know what I love? Hard workers. That's what I love. People who take an assignment and run with it. People who don't have to be told over and over and over again to do what they already know they should do. Christian workers shouldn't have to be coerced into doing their work. Kids at home shouldn't have to be coerced into cleaning their rooms or helping with household chores. As Christians, we have a higher calling. The Spirit of God within us compels us to give our best. So, Christians should never need other people to motivate them. They should already be motivated by the Spirit of God. And by the way, it doesn't matter one iota what anybody else around you is doing. Number two, don't just obey as people pleasers. People pleasers seek the applause of men, not God. People pleasers try to make good impressions on others solely to promote their own selfish agenda. Forgive me in advance for generalizing, but the stereotypical politician seeks the applause of the masses while often neglecting the true welfare of those they're elected to serve. There are exceptions to this, but that's a fairly accurate stereotype, I think. That is people-pleasing. In the church realm, some preachers only discuss topics that people like to hear. They avoid the difficult or challenging topics that people actually need to hear. That is people-pleasing. Christians should want to make a good impression on others, but for the right reasons, as a testimony for the Lord Jesus. For Christians, our greatest concern should be his reputation, not ours. Biblical Christians see themselves as bond servants of Christ. We do what we do not for our own advancement, but for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Number three, do the will of God from your heart. God wants Christians to be motivated to do good work from their innermost being. External appearance is not enough. God wants to see something in your heart that the boss may or may not be able to see. Jesus looks for passion and zeal in your heart. To God, the heart behind your work is as important as the work itself. Screaming, "I hate my job," is grumbling, similar to Israel's murmuring in the wilderness. So let me ask you a question. Who gave you your job? Who gave you your job? Is God not the giver of every good and perfect gift? Did God give you your job? If yes, then whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. We must give wholehearted effort in our jobs. Please do not be the kind of worker who, between glances at the clock, looks for ways to get out of work. You've known people like that, right? The summer before my junior year of high school, I got a summer job at the University of Missouri. Job title? Custodian's Helper. It actually paid pretty well. I don't know if there was much glory there. We worked the night shift cleaning offices. I was assigned to an older gentleman, a guy who was just a couple of years younger than God. So, the first night, I'm shadowing my custodial mentor, and he's telling me what to do. He said, "Sweep the office." And at me, I'm like, boom, off I go, sweeping, 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 with an abundance of enthusiasm. And then he said, I started calling him Methuselah, by the way. Methuselah said, "Now you need to clean the sinks." So boom, off I go, wiping and cleaning and just cleaning for all I'm worth. And finally, Methuselah said, "Slow down. You're working too fast. We got to make this last all night." And I'm like, all night? Truth be told, there wasn't enough work for him to do, much less him and me. See, I found Methuselah's mentality very challenging because I knew in my heart, this is wrong. This is wrong. Listen, when you work, work with all your heart. You gotta work at keeping your heart right at work. Because if your heart ever goes south, if your heart ever goes bad, temptations to slack off will increase greatly. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says this, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Let's do a little bit of application with these verses. So, when cleaning toilets, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Mamas, when changing nasty diapers, preschool, daycare workers, when changing nasty diapers, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. When doing your taxes, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. When working with an obnoxious client, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Students, when doing your homework, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. When working for an unfair boss, some of the secretaries said we should put a picture of Lindy up here and laugh about it. And somehow it didn't make the PowerPoint. Anyway, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. When serving at church, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Why? It is the Lord Christ you are serving. We should need no other motivation than that last sentence. Number four, serve with goodwill. Christian workers are to labor not only wholeheartedly and with passion, but also with goodwill. Goodwill involves a loyalty to employers, fellow employees, and the company. John Calvin said that this was Paul's way of speaking against the suppressed indignation which swells the bosom of slaves. Slaves, by and large, hated their masters, and they usually responded to commandments apathetically. How so? Doing only the bare minimum to get by. That is never acceptable for Christians. We are to labor with goodwill, without griping, without criticizing others, without begrudging the success of others, and without talking bad about the boss behind his back. You might be the only one who doesn't talk bad about the boss behind his back. As a follower of Christ, let it be. Let you be the only one. Number five, serve as unto the Lord, not man. Christian workers must never yield to the temptation to work poorly, even if you're paid poorly or treated poorly. If you don't like it, my suggestion, go find another job. Don't ever, ever let it be said that you are a poor worker. By serving others, no matter how difficult they might be, you serve God and you glorify God. People at your work, wherever you work, or people at your school, wherever you go to school, should see in Christ, this one is different in a good way. And be reminded, you don't belong to your boss. You don't even belong to yourself. You are not your own. You were bought at a price, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you are in Christ, you belong to Jesus. So, what you do is to be done for him. Henry Ward Beecher, a pastor in the late 1800s, told of a poor immigrant stonecutter, homeless, friendless, and ashamed to beg, yet hungry. He took a job in Brooklyn for room and board. Each day, from sun up to sundown, he was given stones on which to carve ferns and flowers. He didn't know what his carvings were for, but he did his very best on each one. One day, he paused to admire New York City's new art gallery. There, all along the front of the building, were his carvings. As tears welled up in his eyes, he said, "I'm so glad I did my best." When doing the work itself, he didn't realize how important his job performance was, but each day, as he passed the Art Gallery of New York City and looked up at his work, he was always glad he could say, "I did my best." Should that not be true of everything that every one of us does? Henry Beecher Ward finished his sermon on this passage with these words: "Though the work which you are doing seems small, put your heart into it. Do the best you can do wherever you are. By and by, God will show you where he has put your work. And when you see it stand in that great structure which he is building, you will rejoice in every single moment of faithfulness with which you wrought. Do not let the seeming littleness of what you are doing dampen your faithfulness. Workers and students, work as to the Lord and not to man. Cease being ho-hum about your work. Lift yourself to the place where you can say with conviction, 'I am so glad I did my best.' Let it never be said that you, as a follower of Christ, only did enough to just get by or to just stay out of trouble. Always wholeheartedly do your best as to the Lord." All right, let's pray.